all about lifestyle, relationships, cars, and gadgets. From Cassie to the bird. From Cassie to the bird.
What's up? It's that time of the week again where we get to talk about all things black. In the studio, I got with me the beautiful Ville-Marie Jansen van Rensburg, also known as the Speed Queen. What's up, girl?
Hello, hello. Missed you. You're looking great.
Jy lyk baie moeilik ook.
Mooi. Edible.
Moeilik.
Likeable.
I like moeilik. I like the word moeilik.
Moeilik. Do you know what that
what
means
it does to, my,
me,
to my mouth? Moeilik.
No, but you know what that means?
It's cute.
Moeilik.
Moeilik, yeah.
Nothing cute about it.
What
it
is moeilik
difficult.
Mean?
I'm not difficult.
Is it? Just shows how, you know, my Afrikaans is sometimes here and then sometimes not quite there. I thought moeilik was cute.
I'll teach you.
Okay, what's cute?
Lessons.
What's cute?
Huh? In Afrikaans.
Oorlik.
Oulik.
Oulik. That's what I was going for that.
Okay.
Oulik. I was going, but I was putting it together with moi, you see?
Yeah,
so it was like moeilik.
Got it. Thank you. I'll take it as
and
a compliment.
Moi. So it's like all in one. Well, anyway, today we're with Peter and he's from One Face. You know how we like our watches. What kind of watch you got around there?
Me.
You don't even have a watch on.
I was waiting for the pink one, but someone took it.
You were hoping to get a freebie?
I was going to buy it.
Oh,
it's
people
all
from
for
Pretoria.
Good cause.
Okay, well, anyway, you know how we like our watches, right? In South Africa, like, watches are a big deal, you know? But, Peter, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm just happy to be here.
It's good to have you in the studio. Yeah. I was saying, I love watches. I collect them. But you came in today with a whole range of very different kind of watches. And these are not just the kind of watches that you take out, you can bling with. You know, Jigga's even got a song just about watches. I know J. Cole's got Mr. Nice Watch. He's got a song. So can you make me a Mr. Nice Watch, Peter?
Well, look, what it is, it's not really a watch, eh?
Our
slogan is, this is not a watch.
What is it?
Space. How can something that's able to feed a child, quench a thirst, be regarded as a watch?
Wow. Because you see, a lot of people, when they buy a watch, that means a child is not getting fed. Something is not getting paid for because we're paying for the watch.
Yeah.
But you guys have figured out how we can get a really fantastic watch and still help people out there.
Yeah.
So how does that work exactly, Peter?
Well, what happens is it's a crowdfunded fashion accessory,
okay.
The One Face Watch. It was launched in America. Mm-hmm. By a guy called Fam Mirza. So, I mean, his idea was, he was born in a third world country and grew up in a developed country. So he wanted to bridge the gap between the two. So he developed a product that's able to give to back to your community. So what we did, well, what he did, and we brought to South Africa, was he created a watch coming in different colors, each representing a different cause.
Okay. And wait a minute, hold on. First up, let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
What is the name of the watch that we're talking about today?
One Face Watch.
One Face Watch. And where do people find a One Face Watch?
Well, they can find it off our website. We're also in selected retailers. Our website's onefacewatch.co.za.
For those people who have no access to the
website.
Internet, what retailers?
They're in Castello stores, Bedford Center, Saint and Melrose Arch.
Castello stores.
Yeah.
The Castello shoes.
Castello shoes.
Oh, okay.
That's
my wife goes there.
Is
those
it?
Shoes are expensive, man.
Hey?
Every time she buys a shoe, I've got to wait a couple of, like, a year before I can buy a shoe from that store.
Well, now you
store.
Can feed a child while buying a shoe as
so
well.
So I can buy a shoe and a watch.
Yeah, exactly.
can buy give us basic words. What is the retail price for a watch like
the
this?
The retail price is about $650.
$650.
Yeah, $650.
That's very, how do I say it? It's a bargain.
Kostigbaar.
It's kostig. I was looking for that. Kostigbaar.
Yeah, $650. We give 45 rand to a local charity per sale of the watch.
Wow.
At the same time, we support the global movement. So for the Hunger Watch, the white one, when we purchase the watch from the American franchise, we feed 16 children from a global perspective. But what we did was localize the product as well. So we signed on each watch with a different charity.
Okay.
So the white watch, like I was speaking
about. Yeah, because they're different colors, right? And they all mean something. So you got a white watch, and that is for hunger.
Hunger, which you signed on with the Lunchbox Fund. The Lunchbox Fund did that whole Marie Claire naked issue.
Okay.
So how many kids do we feed with one watch?
One watch, from a global perspective, 16 children globally.
Wow.
And we give 22.5 hot meals to the Lunchbox Fund.
Okay.
Wow.
I know Breitling's not doing that, so I'm going to buy a couple of those.
Yeah.
I want to buy Breitling worth of those watches.
Wow. You'll be doing a lot of good. That's awesome.
That's a lot of watches, man.
I want to know about the pink one.
The pink one signed with a pink drive.
Okay.
Four watches we're able to support in mammogram terms.
All right. Pink Drive is about breast cancer,
breast
right?
Cancer, breast yes. cancer awareness. Okay. Yeah. I think it's the largest breast cancer charity in South Africa.
All right.
And that's so important. You know, I want to mention this as well.
Yes, please do.
Ladies don't realize this, but it's not just for the older generation ladies that need to go check those things out. I mean, there's a girl now, I saw a write-up on it. I think she's 21.
Yeah.
And she's already, you know, got breast cancer. And she said there, ladies, girls, start from like 15, 16. Go get it checked out. So, I mean, something like this, that's a great cause because it is absolutely relevant.
Breast cancer is not just existent in women, it's also existent in men, which people aren't understanding.
Yes, I was going to ask that.
You need to check yourself out as well.
The guys as well, in other
yourself,
words.
Yeah.
Well, I always say, you know, ladies, I'm not a gynecologist, but I will take a look.
Yeah.
But the girls must look at yours, okay. Tommy,
that
sure.
White past both of you. It's fine.
No, we got
no,
it.
We got it.
There was that awkward silence. You wanted to laugh, Peter, but you were like,
no, I had a comeback.
Cool?
Well, not a comeback. Yeah. I supported your argument.
All right, go for it. Say what you were going to say, man. If you had laughed, that would have really helped the joke.
I'm laughing now. Kind of,
yeah, you're laughing
a lot bigger inside. Because I didn't know if it was a feminist.
It's not anti-feminist. Yeah. I think it's a very good one. But yes, okay, on a serious note, ladies, you must get that checked
and
out.
And guys. And you too. Have you ever?
Yeah, I was at a doctor's the other day and he was feeling me up. I don't know if it was for breast cancer or just for his own personal thing.
Yeah.
But I think he got a good feel and afterwards he didn't say anything.
Did you have to cough?
Like negative, which obviously means that he either enjoyed himself or I'm all good.
I think you're all good.
I think you're good and enjoying yourself.
Yeah. At the same time, you know, I like to give pleasure to doctors.
But now we got a few colors here.
We
getting
do.
Back
yeah.
to the,
We've just
yeah.
spoken to pink, about pink, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got other colors. I saw already. Well, there's a yellow one. There is that maroon or is that
red?
Red.
Okay, so we've got a red one. Let's talk us through all the colors, man.
Okay.
The red one.
So let's start somewhere. The red ones with the Topsy Foundation.
All right, Topsy.
I mean, it represents the AIDS cause.
Okay.
So in other words, it's hard to say what the watches do. In other words, Steve Jobs said the people that are crazy enough to change the world are the ones who do. Okay. So what we've done is we're trying to create identities for charities through fashion. Because we feel obviously they get their corporate funding available so they're able to sustain themselves. But we're trying to do it through fashion. So it's a product for the people, by the people.
I think it's amazing because quite frankly, it's a really good looking timepiece. It's something that people can wear as a fashion statement, but even as people wear it as a fashion statement, what it turns around when it comes to the psyche of watches is you're saying, not only am I wearing a really nice watch, but I'm doing something positive for people who are less advantaged or who are disadvantaged, so to speak. So what you're saying is I'm not just wearing a watch that is more expensive than yours. I'm wearing a really nice watch that is helping people.
Basically, that's what it is. When you're walking down the red carpet and you're wearing one of our products, it's saying, what are you wearing? And it's, I support breast cancer.
I'd like to see Kanye West buy one of those.
The pink ones.
Yeah. Well, Where were we? On the red watch is the eight.
But what does that mean exactly? Because you mentioned now charity. I'm not sure exactly.
Signed on with the Topsy Foundation locally.
Yes.
So, I mean, on the box, you can see one watch supports 8 patients from a global perspective.
Okay. Oh,
so whatever's on the box or on our website, it works on a ratio element. But with South African charities, we lack that ratio element. So what we're able to do is give them funds so they can work with what they've got already.
Okay.
Then we've got the Yellow Watch signing with the Tomorrow Trust. Tomorrow Trust is educating the people that will one day change the world.
So from a like entrepreneur, that kind of point of view, teach the kids.
Teach the kids education. They're brilliant. Kim Feinberg founded that charity.
Okay.
Which watch is that?
The yellow watch.
The yellow watch. All right, cool.
That's personally my favorite. I just feel like when you're wearing a khaki pant, you just put this on and it just goes so nicely.
I think
nicely.
It would go very nicely with like a khaki chino, a blue shirt, and then you like hit it up with the yellow watch. Just
matching,
you know, for
socks.
Color blocking. And then you can put on some nice yellow socks with that and some brown shoes.
And then you know you've got a mirror on the watch so you can check yourself out to see if it all goes nicely.
See if the mascara is still on.
You have a mirror on? Oh
yes,
my word.
See, when you're not looking at the time, you're just looking at yourself.
Yeah.
That's why it's called one face.
The idea is you're changing the world one face at a time when you look at yourself.
That is absolutely fantastic. Okay, so now the black one.
So you're looking
one.
At the man in the mirror.
Yeah.
I feel like breaking into Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not going to do that.
He's dancing.
Inside.
Yeah.
And then we've got other colors. Come on.
Okay, so we talked about the red and the white watch. Okay, then we've got the blue one.
Yes.
Sign on with Generation Earth. We've got two watches signing with Generation Earth. The water watch and the blue watch.
Okay.
Which is environment orientated.
So it's the blue watch is environment orientated. Generation Earth, not generations.
Generation.
Because I know the 16 actors have lost their job, so they might need a charity as well. But it's not that kind of charity.
Well, we can get them to wear it. Let's see if they support.
Let's see if they support. Well, you know, they're not getting paid at the moment. Yeah. They might have to put that on lay-by.
But explain a bit more detail on this watch. Okay. When you say environment now.
Okay. So we've got two watches that are related to the environment. It's very hard to say what they do with the environment, but as on the watch, so the purchase of three watches gives you one charcoal efficient stove from a global perspective. Now, like I said, we've signed up with local charities as well. So Generation Earth, we provide per sale 45 rand. So last month we actually planted on Arbor Day, we planted 10 trees with them for the funds that we've given them.
Okay. Okay, so but are you guys physically involved in that process, or you have the whole
physically
chain
involved?
Set up? Are you also involved? That's fantastic.
We actually were there planting the trees ourselves.
You see, because that's the thing that people also like to see, because now you hear that if you buy this, the money's going there, but can people see that it is going the places it's supposed to?
The money is going there. I mean, we make prompt payments every month, and we make sure that the charities announce that the money they're receiving. I mean, what we're trying to do is also run a business at the same time. It's good to give back to your community, but it's important for when someone purchases something that they feel value, that's the reason they did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
On our website, if you go click on a watch and see the charity associate, we're actually giving the founder's name, the founder's detail, as well as their contact details. So, I mean, if any person wants to query if the funds are going there, they can actually call the founders themselves.
Awesome.
All right, cool. Okay. We're going to take a break right there, but we want to come back and keep talking to Peter about the One Face watch. In the meantime, let's take a musical segue, and we'll be right back with Nkini talking about mental disorders and depression.
Your anxiety, Tomisha.
My anxiety.
Yeah, I see it.
It's not a lot that you've been saying, whoa, but I can tell from your body language. Okay, let's talk about it. About it. Is this about it? About it. Let's talk about it. About it.
Can we talk about it?
But you ain't gotta say too much. Yeah. Ain't gotta say too much. Yeah. I can read your body language. Ain't gotta say too much. Yeah. I can read your body.
You ain't gotta say too much. Hate when you say that I play too much. When I get too close, I'ma touch that subject. I can read your body, enough said. Quit all that yapping. Need less talk and a little more action. Yeah. Now, girl, keep it G. Know you speak a little freak. I can hear it in your accent. Said, tell me, can you understand my language? If you try and ride, just stay in my lane. There's no other way to explain it in layman. Who you came with?
It's not a lot that saying, whoa, but I can tell from your body language. Okay, let's talk about it.
About it.
Is this about it?
About it.
Let's talk about it.
About it.
Can we talk about it?
But you ain't gotta say too much. Ain't gotta say too much. I can read your body language. Ain't gotta say too much. I can read your body language.
It ain't hard to tell. You don't wanna take it too far, then well, you better stop flirting and stop twerking. So perfect, cause it's working. That worth all the worship. You've been in your bag like Birkin. Never had it like this before me. You ain't no girl, better read up on me. You try and get, gotta re-up on me. Being stuck up, gon' leave you lonely for the night. We should leave before the lights on, girl, I'm too on.
It's not a lie that you've been saying. Say too much. Ain't gotta say too much. Come closer. Let me hear
it.
Body Language, a song featuring Usher, that's by Kid Ink. We're talking body language today and many other things, but more than anything, we're talking about beautiful watches that have a great cause. And of course, in the studio right now with us, we've got Mr. Nkini Pasha from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. Nkini, how are you doing, man?
I'm very good. Mogone. Thank you. Yes,
it's so good to see you. You're
likewise.
Looking fantastic, guy. You're always looking fantastic. You're like,
I try.
You're Mr. New New. I remember when I first knew you, you had those nice dreadlocks on back in the day. So you're like, and now you got this haircut, and you're always like fresh, man, fresh
Thank
to
you.
Death. You're obviously not suffering from depression and anxiety.
Not every day.
Not today.
Not today.
Only
definitely.
When you're well dressed. So, you know, a lot of people are actually suffering from anxiety and depression, and I think a lot of people don't even know it. Mm-hmm. If you could just briefly tell us, in a few seconds, what are the things to watch out for if you are suffering from anxiety and depression?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe let's just start by creating a distinction. You know, we all have, you know, bad days, you know.
What's the difference between being sad?
Yeah,
and
you depressed? Know, just having those blues where it's just, you know, one bad day, or you're having a bad hair day, that type of thing. Yeah. But when you are actually consistently in that state where you're feeling sad, you're feeling hopeless, you've got your mood significantly changes, you know, you cry for absolutely no reason, you really are not positive about, you know, future outlook in life. And that is consistently happening. We say for a minimum of 2 weeks consistently, it's telling us that there could actually be an underlying clinical condition like a depression or even a type of an anxiety disorder.
Yeah, okay, listen. A lot of women suffer from a hormonal imbalance, mm-hmm. and they might have that.
Excuse me.
I said a lot of women, not necessarily you, but there are some out
where
there.
Do you get those stats? Those are only for like 2-3 days every
I
now and
I know a
then.
Lot of women.
We know when.
Which you are allowed to, yeah. by the way.
Thank you.
But yes, but they do suffer.
You suck and that out somewhere.
No, come on. And it's not just at that time of the month. I'm saying like a lot. Like especially if your thyroid is not working very well or you're anemic. Those
Which
things
happens to the men too. They just don't admit it.
Okay, well...
Yeah, actually, that's true.
You know, you're killing my whole vibe true. Here, okay?
I'm sorry,
I'm trying to ask something that's very important. Are
Go
you
for
depressed?
It. I'll keep
Is that what's going on?
No, I'm PMS. No, like they would say.
But how can they tell the difference that it's not just a hormonal thing, but this is real? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, talking about hormonal changes, I mean, even in teenagers, whether you are a teenage boy or you're a teenage girl, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in your body. You know, physiologically, you know, the body changes. There's a lot of stimulation of, you know, certain chemicals and hormones in your body. But, you know, to be sure, we are saying that where you are actually experiencing a significant change in mood, you are not eating well, you are not sleeping well, you've got absolutely no positive outlook, you are irritable. And for men in particular, you know, men actually show, you know, a type of a mental disorder differently from what women, you know, would generally do. I mean, men, you know, we don't necessarily easily talk about our emotional distress, you know, our psychological issues or baggage.
Because it's not considered manly.
It's not considered to be man enough, you know. So we've got this masculinity, you know, gold standard that we always try to match ourselves, you know, against. So we find that with men, they become more, you know, angry, they are more irritable.
Yeah.
They also risk taking behaviors. Yes. You know, they
I feel that way after, especially like when Sundowns loses, sometimes it lasts like a whole week, but it's not two. So I'm not depressed. I'm just sad.
Okay.
We've got Monabisi on the line. Monabisi.
Yes, we do.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine, and you? I'm sorry, but I had to call into the show.
Yes.
For those obvious reasons to say, I think Dimisha's depressed.
Oh, really? I thought you were depressed, and we're talking about female depression.
He's
I
not
was saying,
even here.
As a woman, how do you feel about female depression, Monabisi?
Vilmarie,
hello?
I think when you said PMS,
yes.
Hello, my darling.
Who
hello, my darling.
It's so nice that you're not here. She's the only one who misses you. No one else thought you were missing. We just thought, oh, it's nice in the studio today.
Go for it. What did you want to say about PMS? Because you should know all about that. You've got a house full now of ladies.
Yes. The PMS that we all suffer from when we're in studio is putting up with Demetrius' shit.
Don't pull me into that one.
Yo,
hello,
bro, this guy.
How are you, Mr. Pasha?
I'm very good, Monabisi. I'm very good. Yeah, good to hear
I
your
hope
voice.
I'm treating you well in studio there, but I'm loving the conversation, guys. You know, it's amazing how you take these things for granted, and actually, there's a condition, underlying condition to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I understand why Sumisha is the idiot that he is, you know?
It's because you depress me, Monabisi, and you're doing it now. But I'm trying to get over this thing because I've made a promise. Because since we're, you know, we're brothers, I have to live with you. I can't kill you, but I can't live with you at the same time. So it's fine. Nginny's going to help me with that depression of mine.
Talk therapy, eh? Talk therapy.
Hello, Wilmarie. How are you?
Good and you?
Listen, we're talking about not being able to talk about it as men. Do you ever get together with your boys and say, listen, guys, today I'm just feeling down, hey, and I don't know why I'm feeling so down. Do you find that they treat you like, okay, you never do that?
No.
Why not?
The reason is we don't allow each other to get to that space. Mm. Men don't generally allow to be vulnerable around other men. It's generally, I don't know why, but it's generally a rule of thumb that if you've got something, deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, if you want to talk about it, it's a sign of weakness.
Yes,
you're not
less of a man. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct.
So are you for it or against it, BC?
I'm for it, but I think the environment needs to be safe enough, and the people that you let go, that for me, that, you know what, Vomere or Tumisha, I'm not feeling great today. And it's not for you guys to make me feel great, but it's just, how do we unpack that?
Mm-hmm. Just the sounding board even helps,
absolutely.
I suppose. And I think what you said there is so true, BC, because we got to choose who we say that to. Because if we end up telling everyone, oh, I'm feeling so terrible, then, you know, they either make it worse. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't understand. And
correct. And they're like, that one is depressed. We don't want to hang around them. But it becomes a stigma, you know?
Yes.
You know, I don't want to say, like, that one's depressed and I don't want to hang around him. But sometimes, like, you're always whining. You know, I mean, I don't want to be around people like, oh, you know, my boss is like this. I don't like my job. My wife. Oh, the bond, the tax, the government.
We've
got 702 for that.
The risk of being petty, you know. Yeah, we've got 702 for that, you know.
But
why
also,
not run something on central when we've got a radio station that we can use to moan in, you know.
Yeah, but also, you know, if you say to people, you know, I'm depressed, people don't actually take time to understand that, you know, it could be or it is a medical condition. They immediately stigmatize you and label you, hey, that one is loony, you know, that one is crazy, that one is popping happy tablets. You know, so it's all these myths and all these ugly terms that, you know, we throw around that really makes a lot of people, and particularly men like myself, not to feel comfortable to actually come out and openly talk about my emotional distress or my mental, you know, state of my mental health.
But I'm curious, what are the guys that what are the things that get you guys depressed? Because I know with girls, mm-hmm. I mean, I have a good idea, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what is it that makes you depressed? And I'm not saying on an oppervlakkige level.
Can I give you a one-word answer,
Vomere? Do we have subtitles for that?
Yeah, I think I got an answer.
You do?
Okay, money.
Can I give you one answer,
Peter's
Vomere?
Money. What's yours? What's yours?
Finances.
Finances. Yeah. Okay.
You and Peter, finances.
Okay, money is one.
Yeah,
right.
You know, because also think about, you know, where the men are coming from. As a man, you are seen, you know, you have to provide for your family. Mm-hmm. So if you fail in that role, you feel completely useless. You feel completely redundant that, you know, I am failing in the one, you know, department that I should actually be excelling. I have to be, you know, I'm the breadwinner. I have to be the provider for my family. So if you are then faced with, you know, financial challenges or financial difficulties, which then lead you to fail in that situation, you are going to feel depressed. You are going to feel completely overwhelmed, with everything that comes with that in terms of how do you then deal and cope with that situation.
It's an interesting point. And Tumisha, I'd like us to get back to this later when we get to that payment gap thing, you know, with the genders.
Yes.
But no, really, this, I mean, I think it's very valid. But what was your reason? What would you say?
I mean, money or financial stability is very important. But at the same time, we live in a country where we see many adversities continuously. So it's at every robot. It's the whole time. So in other words, there's never a breath of fresh air. There's never a breath of fresh air. So what you got to do, I mean, if someone confides in you and complains and whines about it, you can't take that as, I don't want to be around that because it's bringing my persona down. But you got to take it as a sign, like, let me try uplift him.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, you'll find someone that he could speak to. And then finally, I mean, we must be open to help each other. We're a community where if we're going to grow as a population, we need to support each other.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying negativity is depressing?
I'm saying we shouldn't take for granted that, I mean, I don't believe it's full blown depression. I believe people can fix that as a population, and I'm saying we should all take the time to support each other.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, I suppose maybe in a country that's suffering from so much financial inequality, there's actually a lot of men out there who are very, very depressed, and it's showing itself symptomatically in I think our criminality, our violence. You know, there's a lot of muggings. This weekend, we're just reeling from Senzo Mayiwa getting shot because there was a botched robbery over a cell phone.
Look, we there is no doubt that, you know, obviously what causes either a man or a woman or a child or a teenager to be depressed or to have any other type of a mental disorder is not just one single, you know, cause or factor. It's a multiple factors. But we cannot ignore the impact that our socioeconomic issues, you know, have on us as human beings. We can also not ignore where we come from as a society. You know, I mean, we many of us are still trying to come to terms with, you know, what happened in the past. And whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are green, it has had an impact, you know, on us. Yes, maybe in not the same, you know, to the same degree, and not in the same manner, but we are carrying that baggage. There is that historical baggage that we are carrying with. And now we find ourselves in a very emancipated, you know, society that comes with its own pressures and its own demands. So navigating our way to really make it happen, it's also proving to be challenging, you know, for a lot of South Africans. But so really, all these little issues, you know, impact on us. And I want to say that, you know, regardless of your whether you are man or woman, we are all human, and I think that is really at the core. So when we go through life challenges, you know, yes, we all have different thresholds in terms of how we can handle that stressor, but it impacts on us, and really you feel it. So sometimes it's physical, you bleed, we all bleed the same blood, but also if it cuts you inside,
almost no one sees it.
You know, so definitely, I mean, it's got far-reaching consequences.
But besides talking to the right people now, would you agree that also in terms of how you eat, your physical, you know, are you training, those kind of things do contribute to either better mental health or worse?
No, look, they definitely contribute, and I think, you know, at the corner of or stone of, you know, having, you know, a good quality of life, or, you know, being, you know, of good well-being, so to speak, you need to take care of yourself, you need to, you know, sleep enough, you need to eat right, you need to exercise, because all of that just really helps your body cope better with everything, you know. I mean, if you look at the type of foods that we eat in this day and age, is processed food, is, you know, it's got a lot of sugar, salt, oil, you know, fat and all that. So one has got to actually be very, very active in themselves, in how you actually, you know, lead your life, in the things that you allow, you know, in your body, and what is around you, you know, because sometimes we find that, you know, we get depressed by the environment that we're in. Take, for example, a woman who's in an abusive relationship and they feel they cannot get out of that relationship. Now, their emotional, you know, well-being is not going to improve because they remain in that in that situation.
But at the same time, now I know quite a few guys who are in abusive relationships with women being mentally, emotionally incredibly abusive, and the men can't get out. I've seen that now, and it's frightening.
Yeah, it is frightening. And because men are not able to talk about what they're going through, the society that we live in does not encourage that. So, you know, men tend to try and deal with it in many different, you know, ways. So they will tend to substances, for example, to try and self-medicate and treat, you know, what they're going through in their families. You know, they may look to other activities such as endorphin-dependent behavior. And this is where, you know, you find that you've got this guy who is forever in the gym. And it's not only about them exercising, but it's actually a release. It's a way of them escaping, you know, from their reality. And that is the only way they actually can deal and try and cope with, you know, their emotional and psychological distress. You know, workaholic, you know, where I find, you know what, I can be in the office until 11 at night because I don't want to go back home. So I become this workaholic. And because it's camouflaged as,
denial,
you know,
also.
Yeah. You know, so you know, people don't pick it up that actually this guy
is he's not busy, he's just trying not to go home.
He's really dealing with you know, hectic emotional issues and psychological issues. You know, so I think we need to get to a point, and certainly platforms like these, you know, we are getting, you know, into a point where we can start educating and creating that awareness and empowering and really changing, you know, these societal norms, inverted commas, or these myths, you know, that dictate how you should be as a man and how you should actually conduct yourself, you know. So we should start challenging those, because we are actually seeing, unfortunately, the symptoms and, in fact, the severe consequences of this. Men not only kill themselves, but they kill their families. So, you know, you don't have a suicide of one person, but actually, you know, more than two people at a time. So that is really, really very, very concerning.
So how do you know when you pass the point of, or at the point of kind of a danger point of no return, where you now got to get some help, I would say?
Look, we actually encourage from the onset, if you even suspect that I might actually be depressed or I might be suffering from a type of an anxiety disorder, it does not harm you to go to a professional, get checked out. It doesn't hurt.
Okay, do who that. Are these professionals when, that people should go to? Do they go to a doctor, a GP, or a psychologist, a psychiatrist? And where did they find these people?
Yeah, generally, you know, the GP is the first point of contact. And okay. And depending in where you are, if you're in a rural area, your local clinic might be the first point of contact. There's sisters there, there's nurses that you can actually engage with. Based on their findings, then they will be able to refer you either to a psychologist, to a psychiatrist, depending on how severe your condition is. Remember, psychologists cannot prescribe or do not prescribe medicine. So they
should
allow
not.
You.
Well, you're just having a nice chat.
Yeah. Well, it's a
but
nice.
If you want some drugs?
It's a nice therapeutic chat. You know, it's a nice therapeutic chat
for sure,
because
for sure.
You do need to actually.
You need to
address,
touch base with somebody who knows what they're talking
about.
Yeah,
address
right?
those issues that, that you're trying to cope with. And then psychiatrists will actually then say, okay, look, this is your diagnosis. This is the kind of medication that you need. And this is how then we're going to treat you. And we, as South African Depression and Anxiety Group, we encourage a dual approach where you have psychotherapy, you know, seeing a psychologist, as well as pharmacotherapy, which is the medicine. So you have your treatment that is prescribed to you, but also you address, you know, those inherent or those underlying, you know, issues that you may have, you know, been dealing with.
But I want to, Tomisha, if you don't mind, I want to say something on this, because I think a lot of people tend to go to the drug side, if I can call it that. I'm not saying that drugs.
There's a lot of dependence, right?
Exactly. Just too quickly, you know, before taking, firstly, like, how can I say, recap on where you're at and what can you do better. For example, train, have an outlet, eat better. Let me just go and get pills. You know, I have friends that actually, that for anything, they just drink.
And we're talking prescription pills. We're not talking recreation drugs. We're talking someone.
No, but
going
I mean, you can't even get Myprodol. You have to get from, and that's also, you can get addicted to that.
Yeah, well, look, Myprodol, it's really? Got a substance called codeine, which it helps you, you know, sleep easy.
Exactly.
So a lot of people like
wanna
it for
sleep.
That because,
yes.
you know, it puts you to sleep. And because of that, it actually is addictive,
yes.
and which is why it's not advised to be used on long term.
They
absolutely.
Should just watch SABC 2.
What? Then you fall asleep.
Yeah, that's less addictive.
You know, so absolutely. But remember as well, you know, you're saying that a lot of people are just too quick to get the treatment. Remember, if I've been carrying this baggage for the past 5 years, 10 years, I'm not talking about it. So you're not aware. What is it that I'm dealing with? By the time that I present to a healthcare professional, it's too late.
Oh,
it's
I
much
see.
More severe that other interventions like self-help type of interventions that you've alluded to are not necessarily going to achieve the kind of, you know, therapeutic results that we require. So you then have to also, you know, to be put on medication. And also, if you have multiple episodes, so you have your first depression or depressive episode, it's not treated very well, you then hit another episode. So the more episodes you have, the more severe your condition gets and the longer time it's needed to treat your condition.
When you say episode,
what
do you mean? Not your episode.
No. I'm asking about that as well.
Not SABC 2 episode.
Just explain to the listener what you mean by episode.
Look, so I have, so I've been well, I've been okay. Maybe I go through a traumatic experience in my life. I hit a depression. Okay. It lingers on. I try and deal with this myself. It does, you know, it does not go away. One of the days I feel better, you know, so it's a roller coaster. I don't then present, you know, to a healthcare professional. Then another traumatic experience happens in my life that actually takes me into an even deeper, depression. So when you're having all these things, because remember, it's, I always like to explain it like this. You know, you have a sponge, mm-hmm. you've got a, you know, water that's spilled. You're trying to actually soak up the water. The more the sponge takes in, at some point you have to actually squeeze it out in order to be able to absorb more.
Mm.
Now, as human beings, you can't be having all these life stresses, all these curveballs been thrown at you
and, not
and you're not
it.
Actually not doing yeah. anything about it. So but it just intensifies
mm-hmm.
and it means as well that then when you do present to a healthcare professional your condition is at a severe stage, so you require a whole lot more to be able to actually, you know, help you out. But also, if I have experienced my first episode, I present, I get diagnosed, I get given treatment, I start feeling better after 2 months, I stop my treatment. Wrong. Very dangerous, because then all that's going to happen, I'm going to hit a relapse. I'm going to relapse into another dip. And the more relapses you have, the deeper you get into the depression and the longer time you need to be treated.
Here's my thing, right, Ngini, mm-hmm. with what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How long do people need to be on this medication if they have a real depression
mm-hmm.
for them to get better? Because obviously mm-hmm. you can't be on that kind of medication for the rest of your life.
Look, with some patients, we do actually recommend that they are on treatment for life. Unfortunately, that is just, you know, based on their condition, the severity of their condition.
But
and
that's
also,
extreme, though.
Yes, I wanted to say, remember, also mental illnesses, they very often have, you know, occur together, what we call they coexist, you know, a comorbidity. So you might have a depression and have an anxiety disorder,
yes.
Or you have bipolar, which is characterized by having the manic phase and the depressive phase. So, you know, so it's not, you know, these conditions are really not easy, like treating a headache. You know, so it's very, very intricate. So if you have other, you know, comorbid conditions, it is going to require a longer term. However, we say if it's your first episode, you get put on treatment, we recommend that you stay on the treatment for 6 months. And you need to follow that treatment plan. You know, so don't feel bad, because usually with antidepressants, after about 2 weeks, you know, you start feeling better. You start, you know, some of the symptoms is going to start, resolving. And the mistake that a lot of patients then do is that 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they feel, oh, you know what, I'm feeling great. You know, I can get up now, I can shower, I can go to work. I don't need this tablet. And also remember, another problem that actually leads people to do that is the myth around taking antidepressants. You know,
a what lot are the of myths people, around taking
well, a lot of people aren't comfortable for, you know, for people to know that they are on antidepressants, because they are then labeled to be, you know, crazy.
Okay,
you know,
people.
So yeah. So people will rather, you know, if I can get off this medication, the better.
Okay,
so,
but what about side effects? Apart from that, there are some side effects.
There are definitely. And also, I mean, we've got different types of or classes of antidepressants. I mean, the newer generation antidepressants, they are a little bit more selective in terms of the receptors that they work on in the brain to induce that, you know, chemical production or the levels in your brain, because remember, because it's a clinical condition. So when you are depressed, your brain is not, you know, producing enough of the happy chemical, which we call serotonin. But also, you know, science has shown that other receptors or other chemicals do play a role, like dopamine, you know, all of that. But with a newer generation of antidepressants, the side effects are a little bit lesser. So you're not actually having as many of those, you know, side effects like dry mouth, affecting your libido, affecting your diet, blood, yes, you know, blood vision and all of that. So they with the innovation, in research, you know, of these medications, they are becoming much more better tolerable, for the patients. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but what I would like to understand, what is the difference for you between anxiety and depression?
Because
clearly there is.
Absolutely. There's definitely a difference. So I've already talked a little little bit about depression, you know, where you've got lower levels of serotonin being produced in your
body. You don't really know you have that necessarily. Yeah, I mean, look, depression.
Yeah, look, all that a lot of patients will obviously observe, or they will feel, is, you know, this significant change in mood. They feel, you know, they feel sad, they cry, they feel hopeless,
unstable,
helpless.
Basically.
Yeah, yes. and really not having the drive to do anything. So even some of the tasks that you enjoyed doing, like being on this show, it proves to be a mission to just even get up and do that. Yeah. Some of the hobbies that you enjoyed doing, your whole outlook of life changes. You know, you might also feel guilty, you know, blaming yourself for, you know, whatever is happening in your life. Irritable, you know, your sleeping patterns change, your eating patterns change.
So that's more the depression.
More the depression, you know, where you think. But also remember, men present differently, you know. So men are not necessarily going to be tearful all the time. You know, men will rather just sort of, you know, stick it up, and they'll be moody, they'll be aggressive, they'll take it out on the people around them. They will tend to alcohol and other recreational drugs to try and self-medicate their condition. You know, they may engage in you know, risky behavior, like, you know,
multiple sexual partners,
unprotected, all of those things.
How do you know that?
I read.
That's a good one.
Okay, now I want to know anxiety.
And then anxiety, look, we've got different types of anxiety disorders. I mean, even with depression, you've got different types of depression. With anxiety, you have, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people will remember from the Oscar, you know, Pistorius's trial, the generalized anxiety disorder, GAD, thing that, you know, came to the fore for a lot of people, where you really just generally feeling anxious.
Heart rate, and it's strangely high.
So like PTSD.
Yeah, now PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a type of an anxiety disorder where you've had a traumatic experience and you cannot actually move past that. You keep reliving this traumatic experience, and it arouses a high level of anxiety,
which is physical.
Which is physical. Then you start experiencing these physical symptoms. Your heart rate, is high. Your palms, your breathing. You might have headaches. You might have chest pain. You know, panic disorder is another one where you have a series of panic attacks, where you really, without any external threat, you start thinking that your life is in danger. You feel that, you know, I'm going to die.
In some instances, am I right to say you can even have like a blurred type of
like vision.
Vision as well that comes from that kind of strip.
Because remember, what happens physiologically in our bodies is, if there is an external threat or danger, our bodies are made up in such a way that it switches into a fight or flight reaction or response, and that's where then you have this surge of adrenaline that is now being released to enable you to be more alert, to be more responsive, to really try and, you know, sort of run or get away from this, you know, perceived threat or danger to your life. So that is how our bodies have been equipped to try and deal with it. But in a type of an anxiety disorder, like panic disorder, for example, or even, you know, GAD to a certain extent, there is really not that perceived or that threat, that external threat. But you go into that mode, and you react in that way. And what happens to a lot of people that suffer from panic disorder, they will start avoiding situations that, you know, where they actually had their first panic attack. So if I'm sitting in the studio, I have my first panic attack, I'm not going to want to be here again.
So you don't want to have it when you go to the toilet or those kind of things.
Those kind of things. Because you're thinking, my goodness, I can't deal with it. So you find that, you know, patients avoid those situations. Yes. If it was in a shopping mall, they will avoid going to the shops. You know, if it was at school, at church, whatever. So it starts to actually
It's a real thing.
And it limits your life. It limits, you know, your functionality. It impacts on your quality of life.
But surely this could be quite big if we think of kids, you know, in school. And that, because if...
Bullying.
Yes, I mean, there's a constant anxious environment, and you cannot actually get away from that. You're pretty much in it.
Look, bullying, I mean, it's a significant issue that we, you know, and I think it's a topic on its own. I mean, it's real in our schools. And also remember, it's not just the physical bullying, but also cyber bullying. Yes. It's really taking prominence in our society.
Social media.
And
emotional bullying as well. People are suffering from emotional bullying.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take a quick segue. And I see, you mentioned something about serotonin. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people take recreational drugs. Well, let me not say a lot of people. But the people who do take recreational drugs don't realize that a lot of those drugs actually lower your brain's ability to secrete its natural serotonin. Mm-hmm. So you actually go into your own depression because you've had too much party time.
Yes. Absolutely. And to be sure, that's a good point that you're raising. Yeah, because
I'm always upbeat though.
So clearly he moves from one party to another.
He's showing that now, which is also something I wanted to say.
What?
I mean, surely, and you must be honest now, I mean, you have to pretty much be on the top of your game a lot, Tomisha. You're everywhere. You've got to be seen here, there.
Yeah.
That's got to have its own sense of pressure and depression that comes with that, because you can't, you should just be you, but in many instances people are not, because you've got to put up a face the whole time.
You know, I think that with what I do, I love what I do, first of all. So, you know, I think there's a difference between good stress and bad stress. I think people have to understand that if good stress is you've got a deadline for work and you actually want to do a good job, that's good stress. Nothing wrong with that. Bad stress is you are angry because you're stuck in traffic and someone has cut you off and you're hanging on to it and you're following this guy home, and that's bad stress. Don't get into that.
Yeah, it's just not worth it, you know. It's to be whacked up in that. And you see many people, and this is part of the problem that we see with road rage, you know, in our society. It's people really taking on that stress that they could just, you know, just count up to 10 and just let it go, you know. But
you know what, if you cry too much, you have too much estrogen, I think. If you want to scream and shout too much, then you know,
testosterone.
Exactly. Find a balance somehow.
Okay, but let's go back to,
I want to bring Peter back into the conversation, because he's been sitting there quietly. You're allowed to speak, Peter. Is there, you guys,
maybe I'm depressing
one face?
Yeah.
Do you have
he's assessing
anything for
depression.
Apart from these beautiful watches, if you're depressed, just buy one of these, and I promise you'll feel a lot better.
Not just yet. We haven't worked on a depression watch. I mean, it all comes from the status.
Purple. It's got to be purple.
It's purple. It's been talked about at the moment. It's,
for depression.
It's for depression.
But purple is also about sexuality.
No, but only you say that.
I mean, you know what the basis is, I feel, about depression? I think you just got to be comfortable in your own skin. You got to find your passion. You got to find what makes you happy. I think our bodies were strong enough to fight anything off. It's write down positive thoughts, write down negative thoughts, and just think the positive. You know what doesn't make you happy. And I think once you build up the person that you are, you can get through anything. And that's the thing with Tomisha, is just loves what he does. Followed a dream, and he's protecting the dream, and he's protecting it within himself, and that's what makes him comfortable and happy every day.
I agree with that, because I find it difficult personally to understand why people need medication. For me, our minds are so powerful. You know, you should be able. I hear, and I've had this debate so many times. People say no, but some people can't work it out like that. So I must say, I have been there once or twice also, where I felt okay. Maybe I just need to be able to sleep a little bit for a week,
nothing wrong with that.
I did physically feel. I mean, I did go through the right channels. The doctor said, "Okay, here's a sleeping pill that's safe," and I found that my body managed to recover immensely in that week, in that process, that I was just able to sleep. So yes, I'm not against it, but in many ways, I'm saying same as you, that people should. I mean, mentally, just if you're unhappy, assess your environment, change it, do something about it before just grasping it.
Look, I want to say I agree with you guys to a certain extent. Absolutely. Let me say that. But before I go there, we're talking about watches. Yeah. I already spoke to Peter about this, what there's to do for mental health.
Okay. Awesome.
So we're going to be having that discussion, and I think
so
orange will be ideal for mental health. But
might,
you know,
need an
I think
ambassador.
Yeah.
I mean,
hashtag just saying,
putting it out there. But guys, remember, you know, just just talking about the issue of medical treatment, I know that a lot of people have, you know, what you've just explained, that, you know, you don't,
we get nervous,
and, you know, maybe we should not, people are just quick to jump to this. But remember, you know, depression, like any other medical condition, it's a medical condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
If
yeah.
you are diabetic, you it's need your medical, insulin. Yes. You need to, you are going to be on that insulin for as long as you are
Absolutely,
alive.
Yeah.
So remember as well that depression is not only caused by, you know, circumstances around you or the environment around you. The research shows that genetics also can play a role in depression. So you know, if you have that genetic predisposition, you can't do anything about it. You know, you can write happy thoughts, but it is there. And one trigger sets you off on that trail. So we need to understand that, you know, it's not something that you choose to kind of allow into your life, but that you're, you know, it's a medical condition like okay. any other.
I'm going to ask a question. Okay, we got to, but I want to ask a question from a partner who's not really tolerant to something like that, that sees it as something as a weakness, if I may.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for saying that, but I'm just being real.
No, people do that.
They
no,
do.
I think it's a valid question.
What advice would you give me? Because I just walk away, I see it as really weak. If you didn't get it right the second or the third, I'm sorry, I'm being
and
honest.
You see, from yeah. But you know what?
I think
this is actually quite representative of what happens out, well, what is happening out there. A lot of people have the myths around mental illnesses, and this then fuels the stigma and the discrimination associated to any person living with a type of a mental disorder. You know, so really what we're trying to do is to not only empower people that are suffering from mental illnesses, but also people around them, the loved ones, you know, the family members. We also have programs where we go into schools and empower not only the learners, but even the educators to say, you know, this is what it means. And this is what happens when somebody has this type of a mental disorder. And this is what you can do to actually help them.
Yeah.
It is very, very important. Yeah. So the stigma, unfortunately, and the discrimination still plays a huge role. You know, and that's why a lot of people then look to suicide as the only way out, as the only solution, because they can't deal with a partner who actually is, you know, undermines their medical condition. And they can't, obviously, in society, they can't be completely open about it and be free. Then, unfortunately, they look to suicide. And in South Africa, we are definitely seeing an increase of, you know, suicides. And this is telling us that there is a fundamental problem in our society. We are not where we would like to be in terms of really to paying attention and really making sure that people understand first and foremost that mental illnesses are medical conditions. You don't call it upon yourself.
Is there some way where we can, for example, say to the listeners that if you're not sure, you know, if you have the anxiety or the depression or whatever, because I mean, surely there's information overload on Google, or if you go look for that now, is there some way where you could recommend for them to go to just go and assess firstly where they're at?
Look, you know, I'm part of the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. We are Africa's largest mental health advocacy, you know, NGO. And part of the work that we do is exactly this, is to really create awareness, to destigmatize mental illnesses and to really make mental health matter. So we've got a website where people can actually go log on. There's a questionnaire on there that you can complete a questionnaire and determine, you know, where you stand
in
terms of your,
it's
private and it's good. And you can even call our call center. Let me give the website address actually before I forget.
Yeah.
It's www.sadag.org.
SADAG.
SADAG.
Yeah. .org. .org. That means
but I promise you,
sad.
Once you've been on our website, you won't be that sad. Yeah. And also, what we do is that we conduct Facebook Fridays, what we call Facebook Fridays. And basically, what we do, we take, you know, a specific topic related to mental illnesses or mental health. We bring experts on board, and people can then actually come in and interact, pose their questions, share their stories, you know, and in that way, we're also helping to empower the people. We've got a call center that operates from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week that is operated by trained counselors. So you phone, you can remain anonymous.
What's that number?
It's 0800-567-567.
0800-567-567.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to catch you there because we are about to run out of time, and I want to go back to One Face Watch. I see here you guys have got a website as well. It's One Face, that's the number one, onefacewatch.com.
.co.za.
Oh, so we've got a South African
website. We've got
one,
a South African website, yeah.
Awesome.
All right. And what can people find on that website?
What they can find is our two commercials that we've shot. We shot one for the AIDS and one for the Hunger Watch. They'll find everything about the product, all the products they involved, like we described the different colors. If you click on the watch, you'll see the charity. There's frequently asked questions in case you need anything. Alternatively, you're more than welcome to email us. There's a customer care email there. You can email us at info@onefacewatch.co.za. And any questions, we're more than willing to help. Our charities can help as well.
Yeah. So you can see where to go and buy it as well.
All information's on there. What we're trying to do is make it simple as easy for everyone to join a movement and spread love.
And okay. be part of the whole
But I mean, not everyone is only buying the watch just because of the good things that you guys are doing for it. Some people just want to buy a watch because it's a nice watch.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the watch itself. I mean, you said that when you're not looking at the time and the watch is kind of on standby, it becomes a mirror.
You well,
it's pretty simple in its design. I mean, tempered glass. It's very hard to break. It's basically a mirror. It says your time, date, and then seconds. So you can scroll through it. And then when you're not seeing the time, it actually turns into a mirror. Silicone strap as well. It's water resistant. I mean, you can kiss in the rain if you love love stories. Or you
don't have to take your watch off.
Wash dishes. Okay. I mean,
You can wash with your watch on.
Yeah, you can wash.
Which for those people who wash regularly is very important.
We were discussing this earlier.
Just
me
don't
and Tamisha love
it.
Washing dishes.
Yes, I don't.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say something else as well about the watch itself. If you're interested in any sort of sports, can it help you with that? Does it have a timer on it?
It doesn't have a timer, but it's a good conversation starter. I mean, the difference between our watch and the iPhone watch is that ours saves lives.
Oh, okay.
But you know, and also, you've got to also put it in perspective, I think, with in terms of how much it costs for what you're getting.
Okay.
You know, I think it's absolutely more than fair and what you're doing with it, for sure.
I mean, the main thing is this is the first product of our company. I mean, we're actually going to be launching a new product in Feb. I mean, it's still on the DL, but it's going to do with education, and I'll just show you guys what it looks like.
I love it. I've seen it.
Yeah,
we'll take a pic of that just now.
Okay, well, you know, I think a lot of people are going to get this in their Christmas stockings.
Yes.
Yeah.
From hope, hint, hint, nudge.
You know what I mean? Phil Marie.
Well, I think it's great. I think what you being part of it now, while it's still fresh and young, and that is what I like. I like to be part of something that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. I mean,
and if you're a little depressed, buy a watch. You know, if someone's depressed, buy a watch for them. You know,
orange one.
Yeah, buy a happy watch.
Well, there's that thing about if you feel bad or you do something good.
Retail Philip.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I think, you know, on that note, I found that if you are feeling down, one of the best things to do is to go to either an orphanage or something else and help out.
Exactly.
Because when you see how other people are coping with a situation that's probably worse than yours, it helps you feel better. But on that happy note, thank you for depressing us and then making us feel better again. And Peter, thank you for these beautiful watches. People can get them at Castello's. We have to get out of here.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Yep.